It's time once again to be tuning in to Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth. And as we study the Word of God rightly divided, we're also looking at the contrasts in God's Word. We're actually in Lesson 21, and what we're going to learn here today, we're going to learn some things about the 12 apostles under their commissions operated on a God-established distinction, existence between Jew and Gentile. And that's a prophecy program. And in the mystery program, we're going to learn some things, what Paul, under his commission, declares in times past of the distinctions. Many of you know already, by rightly dividing the word of truth, you know that God made a distinction in the very first verse, correct? In the very first verse, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Okay? God Almighty made that distinction. And with that twofold purpose, it also is a threefold division in God's Word. We also know that in times past that there God made a distinction, but now God's made a distinction and what? Ages to come. So that's a threefold distinction in God's twofold purpose. What we want to learn here today, be turning to Numbers chapter 23. And with this in mind, with God working down through Israel's program from the beginning, a prophecy, something spoken since the world began, that now, by now you understand that when God came to this earth, when John the Baptist came to this earth, he had a message, didn't he? Repent and be baptized, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Lord Jesus Christ picked up that message after John the Baptist was beheaded, said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He also commissioned the 12, and we're going to look at this today, and the fact that they had that same commission. They had that same authority. They had that same message that John the Baptist, Lord Jesus Christ, and the 12 had. And many people today will continue to discredit the Apostle Paul and say Apostle Paul preached the same thing. I will say this. I listened to a radio preacher yesterday. It really discouraged me because he was talking about the grace of God, that people says that you're saved by grace plus faith, nothing else, and you can go out here and do everything you can and want to, and if you kill somebody or whatever, you can go on and be to heaven. He said, somebody just sold you a bill of goods. That upset me. Because he goes to Peter, and Peter says, Paul tells you, our beloved Paul has written some things that for you to hard to understand, and he goes on without the contrast of God's Word and starts messing it up. Then he says, well, see, James tells you that it's faith plus works, so he's pointing his finger at Paul and said, Paul, you're wrong. Now see where I'm getting at? Many of you are shaking your head. You know that's wrong, don't you? You know that Peter, James, and John are apostles to who? Israel. And they have a message for who? Israel. So with Paul being the 13th apostle, he's got a message for us today, and we'll find that out in the mystery program. But that really upset me as I listened to this, because as I listened to that preacher, that radio preacher, he bragged about how many thousands of people he led to masses. He, you know, and altar calls and stuff. I'm thinking, who is this guy? But I realized something out there. He's probably 90% of all the religions that basically believe the same thing. So we are not religious here, correct? We're Bible believers that believes the Word of God, rightly divided, and we know what God is doing today. And hasn't that liberated many of us as we was in religious systems? Yes, it has. I told you to turn to Numbers 23. The 12 apostles, under their commission, operated on a God-established distinction existing between the Jews and the Gentiles. And number 23, verse 9. Numbers 23, verse 9. Says, for from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. You see that? Who's he talking to there in times past? Israel. Israel is not to be reckoned among the nations. Now today you have a united nations that they want everybody to be reckoned with, don't they? Under one leadership. That's era for in times past. God told Israel not to be reckoned among the nations. And He's going to take them. He made a division in times past. Now go to Matthew chapter 10. Well, you say, well, we understand that, preacher. You know, that we have no problem with in times past, Genesis through Malachi. That's Old Testament stuff. You know, we know that God made a distinction with Israel, and we can agree with that. But when you get to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, things change, right? Wrong. Okay, but people makes you believe that or lead you to that. In Matthew chapter 10, and I just got through telling you that Lord Jesus Christ, John the Baptist, was God, was a representation of who? God Himself sent John the Baptist. Okay? All right? Then that's God the Father, representing God the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ is God who? The Son. And then we find out later on that Stephen has got, represents God the Holy Spirit. Okay, you have three of them there. In Matthew chapter 10, when God says in verse 1, and when He had called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal some manners of sicknesses and some manners of diseases. Now we say that. I've got mine circled. It's all manners of sicknesses and all manner diseases. That's my God of the Bible. And He goes on and lists the name of the 12 apostles are who? These. And He lists it all down there. But what I want to get to is verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, please go to the way of the Gentiles. Because this is what I'm commissioning you to do. What did He say? Go not into the way of the Gentiles, or into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now that's Numbers 23. Israel, still up to that time, was not to be reckoned among the nations. Now, we know where they was at politically. We know where they was at religiously. System. They was with the God of this world by the time Jesus Christ come. You know, God sent them out as a vine, planted them in Israel as a vine to be a blossom and be a shade. We looked at that, you know, several times. The fact that they're a vine. But what happened? They withered, didn't they? And they wasn't who God said they were supposed to be. Go to Matthew chapter 15. And we've been over these verses and over these verses. Okay? Matthew 15. Now God told them, told the 12, said, go ye not into the way of the Gentiles. And Gentiles means what? Nations. Okay? They're nations. With an S. Okay? I have chapter 15, starting with verse 21. Starting with verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto Him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But He answered her and said, go wash yourself 17 times. He answered her not a word. Now, I know what people says out there, that Jesus, you know, He came to everybody, right? You know, He came to give peace. He came to heal the brokenhearted and all that stuff. Did He not? You can understand some things now through the Apostle Paul that He did a lot of things. But He answered her not a word. Now who's the woman? From where? From where? Canaan. Now anything good in Canaan? Now you remember when God told Joshua and the nation Israel, when you go into that land, when you cross across the river Jordan, what are you supposed to do? Make drink and marry and have parties with everybody? No. destroy everything. Now, they could keep a couple things, but yet when they kept a couple things, it gave them trouble, didn't they? But Canaan is not a good place to be from. But he answered her not a word, verse 23. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. Now, she cried after the Lord, and the Lord answered not. So guess what he did? She did. She went after the disciples. They're following him, right? And he's saying, send her away. Verse 24, but he answered and said, he says, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, if you know what Romans 15:8 says, for Jesus Christ was a minister to the circumcision to confirm the promises of the Father. Now, who's Jesus Christ? Minister of who? So he had a circumcision gospel. Okay? So therefore, he says, I am not sent to lost sheep of the house of Israel. What did he just tell them in Matthew chapter 10? Go ye not to the Gentiles, for I am not sent to who? He's saying this again. He's coming to that lost sheep of the house of Israel that we found out in Jeremiah, that Jeremiah writes to the Israelites that the shepherds had gone out of the way. You are like lost sheep. That's where you get that term at. See? They needed a shepherd to be led or lead them. Verse 25. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. She's not giving up, is she? She know who he is. Verse 26. But he answered and said. He finally does answer, right? He goes, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. That's the way they thought in times past, Israel thought about the Gentiles. You either was circumcision or uncircumcision. Okay? You was either Israel or dogs. That's, you know, that's name calling, people. Look at this. Verse 27. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Now, she knew who God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was. She knew who the son of David was. And what book are you in, by the way? And what does a book of Matthew portray Jesus as?
King.
King. Son of who? David. Where's that royalty line coming from? Abraham? House of David. Son of David. That's why he says son of David, son of Abraham. When at the first of this part of that. So she knew who he was. He's king. He can grant things. He can also take stuff away, can't he? Look, she says, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. She recognized, and I'm preaching to the choir here. I know that. But she recognized herself where? Up here, equal with Israel? Down here, on where she's supposed to be, the nations under Israel's program. It was God, the Creator, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, through the nation Israel, down through all the nations. That's a governmental structure. You know that?
Sure is.
That's authority, by the way. So she recognized that. And she says, verse 28, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, but be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. That's something. Because you know why? That's different from... we'll see. That's different between from Luke chapter 13, and you'll be turning there on your way to Acts chapter 3. Get Acts chapter 3 and Luke 13. Acts chapter 3 and Luke 13. It's not, might not be different, but look at this. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. I hope you're understanding some things by now. We're in lesson 21 of the contrast between the Word of God, and you should see some things right now. It's like, yep, this is true. Because why? God said it, not the preacher man said it. Amen? It's God's Word. You have to believe God's Word, people. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Verse 25. Verse 24 says, "Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that followed after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days." What days? Ye are the days that he just told them in chapter 3, okay? All right? 25. "Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenants which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in his seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first." Who's that? Who's he talked to that day, right? It is not you and I today in Canton, Ohio. Okay? Because you know what? I know what people says. Well, Pentecost happened. We've got to go back to the days of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit fell. That means everybody. See how you take things out of context? "Unto you first, God, having raised up His Son, Jesus, sent Him to bless you and turning away every one of you from His" what? "Iniquities." That's what God has doing. The Lord Jesus Christ commissioned the 12 apostles to operate on God's established distinction. God made that distinction. And through Israel, they're going to, they're supposed to be filled to get it first, and so they can be able to give it to somebody else. You know? So that, yes, that's the plan. Look at Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Luke 13, verse 10. Verse 10 says, "And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmities 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift herself up." Now, we got aches and pains, don't we? But how would you like to have it for 18 years? Now, some of you may know people that's had infirmities for 18, 20 years, born that way. You know, infirmities. Look at this. "And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loose from thy infirmities." Wait a minute now. What did you read over in Matthew 15? About a woman, and called him Lord, the Son of David. What did he do to her at first? Yeah, ignored her. Wait a minute. Here's a woman says, Jesus saw her and called her to him and said, "Woman, thou art loosed from her infirmities." Well, keep reading. "And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified" who? God. "And the rulers of the synagogues answered with indignation." Is that good? No. "Because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, They are 6 days in which man ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed on the and not on the Sabbath day." Now you know, many of you, I'm looking at many of you here today, know that there's people out there who will base their religion on a 6-day work week, but you better not open your door on the 7th day. Right? We know there's people out there, I remember blue laws down home. Okay? You know, and that you better got your milk, you better got your bread, and you better got everything you need at Saturday. Because Sunday you are nothing open at all. Now everything's open. Now you go down here, everybody's at, we might ought to have church in these parking lots down here at these establishments where you buy bread and milk and stuff, because there are more people in there at 9:30, 10 o'clock than they are here or listening on the radio right now. But we can't, point fingers, can we? We just got to preach the Word. He says, where are we at? 6 days and be healed. Verse 15. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox and his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? Now, would that be work? Many of you have worked on a farm, you've been around farms, you know that's work. You know, many of us would love to have horses and stuff and cattle and stuff, but I'll tell you what, it's work. Many of us have got animals right now. Can you just leave, take off for a week and leave your animals and do whatever? It's work. Verse 16, and ought not this woman, being a woman from Canaan, that what it says? A daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversary was ashamed, and all the people rejoiced from all the glorious things that were done by him. Who is he talking to? Who is this woman? Daughter of Abraham. Who's Abraham? Jewish. Israel. He had no problem with healing that woman. The 12 had no problem with healing the woman. You know, it strikes me in Acts chapter 3, when the man was on the steps, lame man from birth, asking from what? Alms. And Peter and them says, silver and gold have I none. Rise and stand on their feet. He rises up and gets healed. He didn't ask to get healed. He wanted money. Now he got healed, man. He's going to have to go work for a living now because he's not going to beg. But look, that's what God established distinction between Jew and Gentile was. We know that, don't we? Prophecy. Contrast to this, we turn into 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. When you understand the Word of God rightly divided, you can understand some wonderful things. Well, that preacher man I tell you about earlier, he was taking stuff out of contrast, putting people under law, pointing fingers, context, putting people out of law, pointing fingers at them, making them feel guilty. That's how you... Don't get me started. Yeah, don't. You know what I'm saying is, you can build a religion on that. You can build a church on that. Bank account. If I sit up there and pointed fingers at you every day, every Sunday, guilty, 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 and take you back into the law system to point it out that you was guilty, 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 guilty. Guess what? You would feel guilty, guilty, guilty. You would say, oh my gosh, what did I need to do, preacher? Well, come up here and give your heart to Jesus. And that man went on to tell a story about an American prisoner that was thrown in a cell with a Japanese guy. And every day they pulled the Japanese guy out of that cell and beat him and beat him and throwed him back in that cell with that American. Didn't touch the American. So the Americans gave him his food and healed his wounds, right? Give him strength. Every day they come. Then one day he brought him back in there, and the American knew the Japanese wasn't going to make it through the night. I mean, literally. Paul says 39 stripes save one. If he beat him 40 stripes, Paul was a dead man. So that American went to that Japanese and knew that he was not going to make it through the night, looked at that Japanese and said, you don't have to fear death. Give your life to Jesus right now. Okay? How much life did that guy have left?
Well, if you confess, he has eternity with Jesus.
If I tell you give your life to Jesus right now, okay? Give your life to Jesus right now. That's not the gospel. But how much life did that guy have? And I'm thinking, that man had five more minutes of his life. That's the wrong thing to say to that man. And he goes, he said the Japanese spoke English and turned to him. He said, if the Jesus that you talk about is like you, I can't wait to get there. I know what the moral of the story was. He's doing good things. But that's the wrong thing to tell that guy. But see how I pulled on your heartstrings right now? You'd flood, you'd knock me over to get up here right now if I preached that type. The message today is the gospel of the grace of God, that Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again. You don't give your life to Him. You don't give your heart to Him. Okay? He gives it to you. You know? I'm sorry to get off on that, but where did I say to go? 2 Corinthians chapter. I'm telling you, sometimes you turn on radio and you're going to hear some things, and you better turn it upside down just to get some truth out of it. But once again, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Under Paul's commission, God through Paul, the apostle to the Gentile, declares that time's past distinctions is now done away and the middle wall partition broken down. God having both made one, now there is no difference. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting with verse 14. Many of you are on Facebook. I'll look at Facebook. Got a lot of friends.
Facebook.
You know. And you know what the thing is? It's Facebook. And I know a lot of people gets upset with what I might put on there, what you put on there, and I can't believe that you're putting this on there. But you know what? It's your face on that book. So you can put whatever you want to. So I have to step back and go, I can't believe that. So you know what? If I don't like what you're putting on there, guess what I do? I unsubscribe from you. I avoid you. You know? That type of thing. And guess what? I don't care what you're doing, you know? I've got to be concentrating on my face, on that book, and that's why you got to be very careful. This is Labor Day weekend. I put verses about laboring together with Christ. That's what I think about Labor Day. We know we work out here. Some of us work 7, 8 days a week. We know what labor is. But here's a good thing to think about when people's out there wanting a great awakening and all that stuff. Look at this. Verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one die for all, then we all, what? Then we're all dead. And that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him that died for them and rose again. Now, who is that? So we don't live to ourselves, right? We don't. But who we lived unto? Man, that's a good thing to think about, isn't it? Wherefore henceforth know ye no man. You know, I'm going to tell you something. Raising kids sometimes is a tough job, isn't it? And many of us got grown kids. Many of us got small kids. But when we raise our kids up to do some things, and they might not be doing things pleasing to mom and dad, right? But you point them to that verse 15, right? And you say, you know, you don't please mom and dad. Please the one who died for you. That makes a difference in some people's life. Verse 16. Wherefore henceforth we know no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yea, not now henceforth know ye no more. Know we Him no more. What is that? How should you know Jesus Christ today? In the cross, in the Spirit, in the glorified, risen Lord and Savior. Okay? And where do you find that at? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? You find it where? Romans through Philemon. Verse 17. Therefore, since we're not going to know Him no more in the flesh, we're going to know Him in the Spirit. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Guess what? And that dispensation is passed away. You know in Christ right now, a lot of things hadn't passed away, right? I'm still in this flesh. I still think of these things. See, a lot of people think that once you believe that, everything changes for you. I tell you, it just gets magnified more. Because now you're under a, you know, it feels like you're under a microscope. God don't do that, but yet the Word of God will penetrate you and say, whoa, wait a minute, I'm different now. I got to walk different. I got to talk different. I got to eat different. I got to look different. I know what you're thinking about me right now. I hope he looks different next week. But anyway, keep talking. Keep reading. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by who? Jesus Christ, and have given us the ministry of reconciliation. All things are of God, have reconciled to us. How did he reconcile us? Where's that? Speak up. The cross. At the cross. At the cross. See, it's that we can look through Paul back to the cross and find some wonderful things happen. But we also looked just a while ago from the contrast of God's Word. God, through the apostles, the 12 apostles, was still making a distinction, wasn't he? There is no distinction today in God's program through Paul. He says, to wit, why? Why has God given us the ministry of reconciliation? That God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses. God's not imputing trespasses against you right now. Do you understand that? That's hard to understand. But look unto them, and have committed us the word of what? Reconciliation. If you've got a word of reconciliation, and you're taking it to the world, letting them know that God was in Christ, reconcile the world unto Him, and it's all in Him, you can be reconciled with God. And He's not imputing trespasses and sins against you. Boy, that's a different message, isn't it? You know? But guess what? Don't die unsaved. I'm not saying to go out here and do things. God's not imputing that right now. He's not coming down here in a form of the flesh, pointing fingers at you, making you do this, walk this way, talk this way, and He's not working through a preacher man telling you do that too. You should know what the Bible says. Verse 20. Well, now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. How are you reconciled to God? Can you make a deal with Him? Can you lay there on your deathbed and say, God, I won't give your life to you? God has reconciled the world through who? Jesus Christ that's on that cross. That's how you do. You know, last week or so ago, we talked about trees, right? On the awful side. You know there's only two trees Paul talks about in the Bible? One of them was that wild olive tree. And if you find out where it was at, is in Romans chapter 9, 10, 11. And who's he talking to there? Israel. And the root, many people think the root's Jesus Christ, but root's Abraham. That's where they're grafted back in that circumcision gospel over there. But the other tree that Paul talks about is what? Amen. The cross. The cross, the cross, the cross. That's how you are reconciled to God today, to what Jesus Christ, and He's not imputing trespasses and sins in this dispensation. That's good news if you think about it, because my goodness, if He worked the way He was back in times past, we'd be in bad shape. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Get ready to close. Ephesians chapter 2. Many of you know this already, but you have to understand by now what Paul's commission is, and I hope it's sinking down in your soul and understanding in your spirit what God is doing today. Ephesians chapter 2. He's done away with times past the distinctions and the middle wall partition broken down. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. You know this by heart. Ephesians chapter 2. Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands. At that time, what time is that? Okay. Not right now. Not ages to come. In times past, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Now, beginning of this lesson and all, we talked about advantages and disadvantages. Is that an advantage or a disadvantage that you just read? A big disadvantage. Okay? And there was a wall. Look at verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye were sometimes were far off or made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I know what they say. People say in Acts chapter 2, there was people, when they were scattered far off. Now this message is bringing those Jewish believers back to that. Yeah, you hear all kinds of stuff. You hear all kinds of stuff about Daniel when they was far off and stuff, and people was far off. Were they? Yeah. But this message was not to them, because even in Acts chapter 11, you can find out it was none but the Jews only. See, that's that circumcision gospel. That was good news for the circumcision. It had nothing to do with you and I sitting here today. But it says, and that, you know what? That was a spiritual wall. But, you know, there's no prophecy here, too, when we look down through there. Look at this. Verse 14. For He is our peace. He hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us. That's that legal wall. Many of you know what legal walls you have to climb over to get money from somebody or buy a vehicle. There's a wall there, aren't they? It's legal. You have to cross. But once again, you cannot find this in the prophetic program we just read. Oh my God, there must be contradictions in my Bible. Is that what you're thinking right now? What is the onslaught of this lesson's plans we're doing? Contrast. Opposites. Okay? You have to understand that. He goes, verse 15, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, contained in what? Ordinances. There's city ordinances out there, aren't they? City ordinance 25-14 says you can't keep your trash can outside your gate more than 24 hours after it's... I'm just going on. For to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. There's no distinctions. You follow me? In times past, who was the distinction? Israel and the nations. It says, and making one new man. Is that a distinction today? No. He's making one new man. And verse 16, that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereof. That physical wall that was between Jew and Gentile, that spiritual wall that kept God, the Creator of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through Israel's land, away from you, Gentile. That legal wall that forbid a Gentile to go into that holies of holies or court. You know, even let me back this up. Even in the outer courts. You know, even in the court system of the physical government Israel had, they still had a court of the Gentiles. And they could go in there, but there was another wall that they had to cross. They couldn't cross over. It meant death to the Gentile. And that's what got Timothy or Titus in trouble when Paul says he brought that Greek in there. And you know what they did? Gave him the right foot of fellowship and said, "Get out of here." And Paul's explaining to them, say, hey, there's no difference today, people. See what I'm talking about? So today, if there's no difference in what God through Paul is doing, His commission declares that time's past. The distinction is done away with. And you know what our responsibility is? To acknowledge that.
That's it.
And then when you acknowledge that, you can turn around and say, you know, God is reconciling the world, has reconciled the world through Jesus Christ at the cross for everybody. And I know you turn on TVs and you see, sometimes you see distinctions. You see people want you to be a part of a system that God is no longer dealing with. Do you not? You turn on radios and TVs and read newspapers that they want you, the religious system today, 90% of them today wants to take you out of the body of Christ or make the body of Christ a part of something that God's not doing. And I challenge everybody who's listening today and sitting here today, the fact that you prove God wrong in these verses. You prove that you can find anything that we just discussed and the contrast of Paul's mystery program, God's mystery, that you can find that in times past. Now, you probably use other versions and your own versions to prove God can do anything He wants to. But when you got this Word of God and you're looking at those verses 11 through 15, 11 through 17 that we just talked about, you're not going to find that in a prophetic program. Until next week.